wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house in the middle of
Isle's house, we're back, better than ever. Just kidding, that's a lie. I'm getting over the plague. Rocco's catching the plague. Jack is also probably catching the plague that's going around. Before we get into it, some housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow our podcast page at Isle's house. Follow me at Ethan GSN, Jack at Isle's den, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Let me just say, I'm going to interrupt the housekeeping real quick. I've been doing the Giants podcast for close to a decade at this point. And you always kind of like get lost in it. You're like, who cares? Like, you know, the numbers are the numbers, whatever. Who's really listening to it? But then when Spotify Wrapped happens and the Apple Wrapped happens and people are like tweeting at you and the Discord's showing you and everyone's like, you know, hey, look, like you guys were in my top podcast or in my top five. I love it. So thank you to everyone who's subscribed, who listens, whether it's on Spotify, Apple. If you're a subscriber on YouTube, if you're not, please go subscribe. We're trying to grow it. Warms my heart, really does. So thank you all for listening. We are sponsored by the Rust and Gold in Huntington. If you are looking for a great place to watch the game, new food, great drinks, brand new interior, check them out. The Rust and Gold on Main Street in Huntington. I always get this wrong. I'm going to take a guess. Got it. If you're on YouTube, you see me pointing at a QR code. That QR code goes to the store. Me, Rocco, Jack, we're all wearing Isle's house hats. We've got sweatshirts. We've got pucks. We've got a bunch of other stuff on there. Check it out if you want to support us. And if you're on YouTube, you see that scrolling bar on the bottom, patreon.com/Isle's house. Again, if you want to support us, if you want to join our Discord, the greatest Islanders community on the internet, and access to the Insiders channel, it is now, I guess, baseball hot stove season, and Rocco is just firing off scoop after scoop after scoop. I can't stand it, but some people appreciate it. So right now it's baseball, hockey. I just put some Giants stuff in there. So subscribe to the Patreon, join the Discord. Gentlemen, we're back. It's a weird Islanders team. Outshoot everyone, lose, get outshot, win. Jack, why don't you take us away? Jackie recaps.
Adding to
try your to keep point, it a little brief, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'll keep it brief. Adding to your point of weirdness, though, the 2025-26 Boston Bruins just completely own this Islanders team, which I really can't figure out why, but it's infuriating, and I'm glad that it's over. I don't think they play them the rest of the year. They beat us 3-1 on Thanksgiving Eve, followed by a pretty crazy game against the Flyers, one of the most memorable plays that I guess happens early in a season when you see Kyle Palmieri tear his ACL and also pick up an assist while he's laboring off the ice. Major props to him. I mean, that's the competitive fire, the juice. That's why these guys are professional athletes. And it ended up sparking his team from a 3-0 deficit all the way back. They ended up blowing a two or four minute power play at the end of that game to take a 4-3 lead. But the shootout woes from the past continued, and they fell 4-3. And then on Sunday, they played the Capitals, and they really thoroughly outplayed Washington. Unfortunately, Sorokin turned into Rick DiPietro for a minute, and they couldn't overcome that mistake. Finding goals has been a little bit challenging for them recently, and that was the same case last night, but it didn't matter. Sorokin was sharp, and a 2-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning has the Isles at 13 wins and 10 losses, and I believe three, maybe four overtime losses, but still a good start to the year. And yeah, I would say this wasn't the most successful week, but there's definitely some positives to take away from it.
Absolutely. And Jack, let me just give you a quick marketing lesson since I've been doing this for a long time. You bring up the Kyle Palmieri ACL tear. It's a good opportunity to plug the patreon.com/Isle's house, the Insiders Discord, who had the ACL tear the night that it happened, not the next day.
That was true.
Just a little tip for you.
You guys got to be depressed one day early.
Yes, we did. You're sounding like some of our haters, Jack. I'd watch it.
No, I was grateful for it. It got it over with.
Rip the Band-Aid off. Rocco?
Yeah.
I mean, we're a streaky team, boys. I think we just got to face facts here. Streaky team. what a road trip we had. And it just, it's all washed away basically, right? Like, just not a good homestand. Fun game last night. Always nice beating Tampa, but woof. They just, not only were they losing, it just was like ugly hockey. Couldn't finish. It's been our issue since Ethan and I were born. Ethan a little earlier than me, but we can never finish. And it's just, it's frustrating, to be honest, because you feel like we're always a sniper short. And even, you know, Knight Sorokin plays well. We just can't find one, you know. So it's frustrating, to be honest. But I think at the end of the day, streaky team. We kind of knew this going into this year. We were never going to be a wagon. We were never going to be this team that was surging into the playoffs. This is what it was going to be. A lot of question marks, some fun additions, see how they're working out. We like most of them, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, all in all, I think it's just going to be this roller coaster of a season. And you know what? Just got to ride it.
Yeah, just to talk about some of these games real quick, something that stood out to me is when you outshoot a team, like, badly and still lose. I took a look at this the other day, and I'm scrolling back to it right now. They outshot the Blues by 2, and they won the high danger chances by 1. They outshot the Kraken by 12 and tied high danger chances. They outshot the Bruins by 17 and tied in high danger chances. They outshot the Flyers by 8 and won high danger chances 11-8. They outshot the Capitals 24-15 and only won high danger chances by 3. So
what's the source of the information?
Natural Stat Trick.
Where's Hornick? Hornick's our guy on this pod, but we'll take that.
Yeah.
But empty calorie shooting. Really.
That's really what it is.
It's perimeter shooting, empty calorie shooting. Even which was the game? Remind me again when we had Boston. We like doubled them in shots, I believe, or close.
Outshot them by 17.
17, right. And they didn't have – did they have a ton of shots? You have that on there?
No, I don't. But I feel like they had like 12 or 13 shots.
Yeah, it just wasn't a lot of shots. And it's just – I don't know. It's just – you can't go off the shot totals in these games, at least for the Islanders. I mean, sometimes I turn on a game that's not the Isles and look at the shot total and you kind of get a vibe of who's playing well, who's not. And it's just not the case with this Islander team because – they did play well that Boston game, but again, the high danger chances aren't there. It feels like they can't find that game-breaking pass or that game-breaking shot to break through, and it's just – I don't know. I don't know what to make of it anymore because it's just –
unfortunately, also, the power play has dried up to a fatal way because they were getting opportunistic goals with it. They weren't ever hitting at the highest clip, but like – you. Think back to that game in New Jersey where they needed one late. They got a power play. They scored. It's just when the power play can't bail them out now and they're at 5-on-5 not getting these high danger looks, it's just very frustrating.
And it's not – I remember at one point on this pod we were saying they're not putting the puck in the net, but the power play looks good. It does not look good anymore.
No. I mean, we could talk about the power play. 32nd in the league right now. So you're right, Jack. What little – there was has dried up. I think at some point they were in like the 21st or 25th, somewhere in the 20s. They're not dead last. The power play structure is abysmal. They fixed this year what, in my opinion, was one of their biggest issues, the zone entry. But it's the same thing every time. And they kind of abandoned it last game. I think they just got frustrated and you had the classic Matt Barzell, I'm just going to take it in between three defenders, lose the puck and get it cleared. You know, a lot of this is Matthew Schaefer because you have a true power play quarterback, someone who can skate from the back end. You can do your fancy little drop pass, take it into the zone. That's all it is. It's if you're starting in your own end, drop pass, whoever has the puck last throws it to one side of the blue line where someone's waiting. They take it in, they get set up. They've had very little struggle getting that part down. But the entire power play relies on perimeter passing and hoping that either a Matthew Schaefer shot finds its way through or that Bo Horvat can somehow get open in the bumper position. That's it. And every single team knows it. If you cover Horvat in the bumper spot, that's it. It's a wrap. Because you got Barzell skating in circles along the wall, not putting the puck on net. I think against Tampa, finally, a bit refreshing, he decided, hey, I'm just going to skate this right in there. And that was nice, but it didn't work. and he's not an elite scorer, and he doesn't have a great shot. And on the other side, it appears it doesn't really matter who the Islanders put there, be it Palmieri, Drouin. I would like to see Heinemann get an extended look on power play one on the other side. Shabanov looked good, but the goals are not there. So it's frustrating for me watching it because aesthetically it looks good. Jack, I remember in an earlier episode, like this must have been early November probably, you were like, surely the Islanders power play must be good. Like they look so much better. And I was like, Jack, they're like 23rd, 25th. And you were shocked. But like, I think you have every right to be shocked because it looks good. They just don't have the shooters to put the puck in the net because the scoring is so one-dimensional.
The system doesn't feel broken either because when they go
power play one, that's the last thing I'll say. I'll take him up. I have Schaefer and his skating ability to help bring the puck up the ice, but Barzal, he doesn't add that scoring threat on the power play. He just doesn't. And there have been times in his career where he's sitting on that side wall. He'll sort of meander his way over to the top of the circle, and bro thinks he's turned into Prime Ovechkin. He's just ripping slap shots directly at the goalie or missing the net. Like, once it's gone in, and in his head, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm that guy. You're not that guy, pal. So I would take him off power play one, put him on power play two, let Schaefer be the quarterback there, and just add as many, like, I guess, perimeter shooters as you possibly can and just start firing pucks on net, because if Horvat's not open, the power play doesn't work.
Go ahead, Jack.
I just find it really weird how when they're 6-on-5 too, they will literally have games where they're 6-on-5 down 2 goals and they have the puck for 3 minutes and nobody scores on the empty net. Like, they are fully controlling play. They're getting set up. Last night was the worst game of the power play this season. And I think it's partially because Tampa is the second ranked PK and they were on a 7-game winning streak. Like, they're very, very confident. So you have a confident unit against one that needs to find the back of the net desperately. So yeah, last night was definitely a step back, but overall, I still think before last night, it was still getting set up properly. And I don't know, I'm an advocate for making changes. And I have to say, Barzal's not the first guy I look at all, but changes need to be made on it, like drastic ones.
The thing is, Jack, if you like, who are you, like, let's just say, like, Drouin's spot or Shabanov's spot, like, they don't have anyone else to put there.
Heinemann.
Sure, but like, I'm saying, sure, like sure. they don't have a Tage Thompson. Like, yeah. they don't have
a can't miss guy.
No. Right. And so, like, Barzal's kind of a can't miss guy, just not when it comes to scoring.
Possession and stick handling, he's a campus guy. He's not a campus shooter.
And right. Before I let you go, Rock, like, my whole thing, I'm not – like, I'd love to see it. And I'm sure, like, statistically, it may suffer a little bit. But I'm of the belief that replacing him on power play one with a more lethal shot there, the drop-off in possession is not going to be more than the increase in scoring chances should you put someone there who's a better shot.
Yeah, it's –
you just have to try something. You're 30 seconds.
You have to try something. I don't think that's going to be what they try. But as far as the power play dropping from the 20s to now last in the league, I think part of that's scouting, right? Like, we have this nice, shiny new toy in Schaefer that people heard about and expected him to be good, but not this good. So I think it was almost a little shocking for opponents at first when you see Schaefer flying into the zone, setting things up, whatever else. Now some tape is out on Schaefer, and I think not to him, like just him as a player, but to the power play as a whole, now they can adjust a little bit. They know the entry's coming from Schaefer or Barzal. And then when they get it set up, as Ethan said, it's all about Horvat. Horvat's the only true shooting threat, I would say, on our power play. Like, some way to advocate for Pulock on the point, but
Schaefer, when he gets the shots through, that's like one of the only other things that's been working, when he can cause a rebound on a shot.
And he's good at that. And but when I say true shooters, Jack, I mean that guy that's going to get a 1-tee and put it in. Not him. He kind of can't be the guy from the top. He can't be the guy up top, because we know goalies today are too good. Unless there's a million screens and a lucky bounce, you're not scoring from the point anymore. Just not really how it happens. You never score straight up from the point anymore. So you need these lethal shooters. Like when you watch a really good power play, they have it. Like Tampa Bay has Kucherov, which one, he has a good shot as well. He's like Barzell on steroids on the power play, essentially. He sets it up, has a good shot, does everything. Then they have Gensel. They have Radish, who might – he has a bomb from the
– Yeah.
He's the type of guy
– current future Islander.
Yes. You hint, hint, wink, wink, Darren Radish, who
– Subscribe to the Patreon, wink, yes. wink.
But bomb from the point. Like, it's just – they have guys that – fit as the final piece maybe of the power play, but it's just like everyone's up a rung too high. We need that player that comes in and can knock everyone else down. Could it be Cole Eiserman in a couple years? Maybe. Could it be someone else we have in the system? Maybe. But I truly think, and I said this in the Discord, the solution on the power play probably isn't currently on the roster.
No.
They don't have the right personnel. It's just it's been years and they just gotta when I think of change it up, it's change over the roster a little bit because they need a couple more pieces.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that Jack may disagree with.
Like, it's just hard to – it's hard to really argue that right now. I feel like it's partially – I do think they've been a little bit unlucky just because when you are in the zone for that long and you're getting chances and not scoring at this level – I think that there will be some luck regression, even though I am speaking to the regression king. So I need to know if that's valid or not.
Jack, they've been bad. Like the last 7 years, the power play has been bad every year, except for like one.
And we just spoke about empty calorie shooting that they every time they outshoot. It's because they just fire shots from the perimeter, whether it be the power play or whatever else. As Ethan said, if you can't feed Horvat in the bumper, which now teams are closing that off purposely, they're sort of – if you watch closely next game, watch how the PK breaks down on the other teams. They cheat towards Horvat because they know that's the shooter. They cheat towards that middle part and leave you on the perimeter. Because, okay, if you have a guy that can beat us on the perimeter, we'll tip our hats. But they kind of know you don't. So that's all they have to do. Cheat to Horvat and get out to Schaefer. And then how do we really beat anybody?
We need Heinemann out there. He's hit the crossbar a few times on, like, those slap shots.
He's hit it like 10 times.
Yeah, like
– crossbars. What about – Shabanov has hit a trillion posts this season as well.
Yeah.
Don't even get into third and fourth points. Forget it. He has touch.
Yeah. Start counting the goalpost goals.
Yeah, that might be. We might have to have a statistic there.
The new third and fourth assist.
Yeah.
The goalie's best friend point.
Okay, where are we going after power play?
The banged up roster.
Okay.
The so Alexander Romanov is probably out for the year. Kyle Palmieri's out for the year, and J.G. Pageau is coming back before Christmas. One of the weirdest timetables I've ever seen, just to promise that, before Christmas. So sometime within the next few weeks.
Yeah, for the holidays.
Yeah, he's already been skating, which is a good sign. But I have a take about the injuries. And I don't think it's anything crazy. So the players that got injured, it always sucks to lose them. But the Islanders have been a little bit lucky with – they're not lucky that they lost. Every NHL team has injuries. It could be a lot worse for who they lose than who they actually lost. They lost their worst defenseman. They have their third-line center coming back, and while he's been out, it's given Cal Ritchie a little bit more time, and you're starting to see it come together. He looks pretty good. The points just aren't there yet. And thirdly, Kyle Palmieri, that one I think is actually the most detrimental because I feel like when people look at the Islanders roster, they look at Palmieri and Lee and are like, yeah, same guy. Winger, old, no. Kyle Palmieri is a lot better than Anders Lee this season. So that one's
a low
that
bar, Jack.
That one stings. It's you say it's a low bar, but like one is capable of producing in the top six and the other one is not. That's what we're seeing right now. So I think that's the biggest loss, but I still have my head high because I think it could be a lot worse because the most important players are still not injured.
But to play devil's advocate here, Jack, what's the one thing we said about the forward group going into the year? It's not the – we don't have the high-end guys, but we have the depth. And now once you start to get into that depth and say Palmieri's gone, Pageau's banged up, that's when you see this little losing streak we have, right? Because now you're playing McLean, you're playing – I think he actually looked good last night, but Siplikov's getting minutes, and he's struggled at times this year. So it's just, you know, breaking into that depth and not just for like a month or so with JGP, just a month, but with Palmieri's out for the year, you know, knock on wood that no one else goes down, but you know, still early. So
I agree with you though. Like we're at the end of the line of depth here. Like
that's there's what I'm no, saying. Who's there? Who gets called no up? Next? There's an NHL debut that gets called up next, and it's not a top prospect. No disrespect. If one more injury happens, that's what's happening here.
Was a top prospect at one point in time, but thankfully things have changed. Yeah.
I have some thoughts.
Let's hear them.
I'll start with the easy ones. Romanov was playing just as poorly as we thought he was. I mean, listen, the eye test didn't lie, although apparently it has lied for some in the fan base who insist that the Islanders are missing Alex Romanov. How you could believe that, I don't know.
It's insanity.
Please get tested for something. I don't know what, but something's off. Our good friend Data Dom, this is from December 1st. Islanders have played 6 games since Romanov went down for the year. They've gone 2-3-1. In that span, they've been second in Corsi percentage, second in Fenwick percentage, 31st in goals for, not something Alex Romanov was helping with, 4th in goals against, 6th in expected goals for, 3rd in expected goals against, and 32nd in shooting percentage. Again, not a stat that Alex Romanov was assisting in. The Islanders do not miss Alex Romanov one bit. Maybe guys like Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock miss him simply for the fact that the Islanders have not found a 6D that they can trust to eat minutes. And that has led to some higher ice time for some of the defenders. But as for results, stats, the eyes, the common sense, that was an atrocious contract. He was playing some of the worst hockey I've ever seen an Islanders defenseman play, and the numbers back it up. So
let me ask you guys something, actually. With Travis Mitchell, have you guys noticed this guy?
No. I feel
like perfect. That's a good you don't want to notice him. I kind of like Travis Mitchell. I mean, he comes in there and, like, I don't know how much he's playing, but the guy just does nothing, and that's fine.
Yeah, he just does his job. But
yeah, Travis Mitchell has played 3 games, Jack. Would you care to guess his average time on ice in those 3 games?
It's got to be, like, 9 minutes, dude.
You're very close. 10:49.
I was going to guess 12.
Matthew Schaefer is playing 20. So there you go.
I think with the Romanov stuff too, it's not – I think what people are trying to say is they feel the Islanders are going to miss who you were hoping Romanov can be and bounce back towards, not what he was playing like. Because he was
– I think you're giving those people too much credit.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. But that's – every time I watched him play this season, I was just hoping that eventually he'll bounce back and have a pretty good stretch because it was that bad. So I guess the – potential peak of Romanov is higher than an Adam Boqvist or Travis Mitchell in that regard. But yeah, nothing was good about Romanov so far. So we'll see.
Listen, if anyone understands defending players in this fan base, it's me. It's just ridiculous to even go there with him. He was so bad this year and it sucks that he's hurt, but like I just don't think
on a personal level, it sucks that he's hurt.
Yes, but it's not a coincidence that the team is playing better. That game in Utah, I really want people to go back and watch the tape. It was the worst game I've ever seen an NHL defenseman play, man. It was so crazy. Every single shift. Yeah, I couldn't take my eyes off of it, honestly. It was so crazy.
Yeah. Palmieri. Whatever.
Nah, that sucks. That's a big loss.
Again, on a personal level, it sucks. Guy's 34 years old. I'm not going to take the time and the effort to go back and play that clip from our preseason predictions pod, but I predicted that he would get injured, and that was why I took the under on his measly 20 goals. This is simply just an opportunity for Heinemann, Shabanov, the actual future of the team, to prove that they belong. Now, Jack, I know you might feel differently because you expected them to make the playoffs, whereas I did not, and I expect this to be more of a building block season.
Yeah, but you can't, hold on a second. You can't say that they're not going to miss the guy and then be like, well, I told you they're not making the playoffs because he's out.
No. Listen, will they miss him? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Does it matter? I don't think so.
One thing I just want to add on that.
Sorry. Does it matter for what we all perceive the window of this team to be?
No.
It does not. I feel bad for the guy. I think he's been a great Islander, but in terms of like, you know, hey, what is the window of this team and how do we become a Stanley Cup contender? Sucks, yeah. But it is what it is.
It's not these couple years, but one thing I just want to add on to that is Ethan said he's not going to take the time to go back. Best believe he went back and sent that privately.
No. I don't know. Hold on. Let's clarify.
You did.
No. Hold on. Let's clarify. I did. Many times. Specifically what I just said was that I will not do it so that I have to download the video of this podcast, find the audio or the video, and splice it in here. And you know why I'm doing that, Rocco? You know why I'm doing that, Rocco? It's called marketing, so that people go back and re-listen and bump up those download numbers.
No, it's not your ego. That's marketing. Good job.
No, it's both. Barzell, the knee. Where there's smoke, there's something. A lot of rumors about load management, sore, surgically repaired knee. Guy's tough. He's going to play. My thoughts on Barzell are not necessarily, like on an injury standpoint, are not necessarily related to his injury. It's more so related to the JG Pageau injury. We've now seen a few times this season where when the Islanders struggle to score, Matt Barzell gets put back with Bo Horvat. Me personally, you know, we talk about like these big trade target acquisitions and like, you know, what gaps does this team need to fill? I know he wants to play center. But if when the goings get tough and you always wind up back on Bo Horvat's wing, like, are we sure that like this guy's not better just playing first line minutes with Bo Horvat on one side and the Islanders going out and somehow landing like a super good 2C? And I know that like at the end of the day, it's what we're hoping Cal Ritchie is, but he is not that right now. He's got four points in 17 games and he's looked good for stretches. I still am not like convinced he's remotely ready. And with the Pageau injury, like whatever, like the guy's here to stay and I'm happy for that. And I want him to get that experience. But like that Pageau injury, I think really makes it glaring that the Islanders don't necessarily have the best center depth anymore. And, you know, the Brock Nelson trade, you're not going to extend a guy like that. And defensively, he was atrocious. But there is a void for sure.
I think the center depth is also only as valuable as your top end wingers too, right?
Of course.
Because if you have Horvat, Barzell, Pageau, Ritchie / Cizikas, but your wingers are weak, what good is it? Because they're all separated, right?
Okay, let me say something that's going to upset a lot of people.
Go ahead.
Matt Barzell got paid over $9 million a year in a flat cap era to turn those type of players into goal scorers.
Yes, but
he has not done that. And I'm not saying that like I dislike Matt Barzell. Like, I think at this point we understand who he is. He's a very good skater. He's a playmaking center. But like, I don't know. Me personally, if you were to like go out there, this is crazy talk. But like, if you were to land like EP40, for instance, and you run Horvat EP40 down the middle with Barzell on the wing somewhere, with Cal Ritchie at 3C or Pageau, like I think that's a very good team.
Yeah, hypothetically it would be. And the one thing with Barzell, and I've heard this privately, you've heard it publicly through certain broadcasts, and it's not a knock on him. It almost tells you how good he is, but he's not the easiest player to play with. And what I mean by that is you don't just throw anyone there and it works with Barzell, right? Like who are
correct.
We? Holmstrom, I think, was the guy we kept repeating last episode that does not work with Barzell. Horvat's an easier fit for wingers, and I think it's Horvat style, right? Horvat's a north-south guy. He's pretty good at every facet of the game, where Barzell is just like this offensive juggernaut, great skater, pass first. So you need very specific players that fit with that. And unfortunately for us, the player that fits with that best is literally Bo Horvat.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's like 99% of the rosters, aside from maybe Colorado right now, it's a bit of a flawed roster, but it can be fixed. It's just a matter of who they go after.
Tage Thompson.
I like the idea of EP too, because is he worth that money right now? EP, no, but could he be a bargain deal? Like, maybe you don't have to give up a ton to get him because you're taking on money. Sure. So there's a lot of options in the new cap world, where the cap is eventually going to go over 100. So they'll have some flexibility. They'll be able to add strategically. So it's going to be interesting how Darsh goes about that.
Jack?
I mean, Anders Lee looked like a goal scorer next to him last year before Barzal got hurt. Duclair looked like one in the five games before he tore his groin. He's playing right now with Jonathan Drouin and Anders Lee, who, by the way, like, he's done here. Like, I'm sorry to kind of just throw that in there.
Another preseason real quick prediction I actually think all of us nailed.
But, like, guys, like, we have tons of respect for this player, but he's one now that shouldn't be on a first power play unit, because, yes, when he's in the areas that the puck is in and he doesn't have to get there, he's effective. But in terms of, like, chasing the game, he looks a step slow again. He doesn't look like...
Oh, man.
He doesn't have the finishing touch.
Oh, sorry, Jack. Sorry. I'm just, you know, scrolling through Twitter and Noah Dobson just got absolutely obliterated by Kyle Connor.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I can't get there, though, with your guys. I can't get there with your guys' Barzal take when he's playing with a known player who's never, I think, scored like 15 goals in Jonathan Drouin, and he's playing with year 30 Anders Lee. It's not the right personnel to have.
But to Ethan's point before, it's always the wingers. The top-level guys, you've got to make some guys better. I mean, there was a great tweet. I forget who sent it to us the other day about Malkin. Like, it feels like every year in Pittsburgh, there's these random-ass guys on Malkin's wing, and you look up at the statistics, and they each have 50 points.
Yeah.
We know he's not Malkin, though.
What?
We know he's not Malkin, though.
Okay, but Malkin's ancient. Malkin's a fossil. He's like 40 years old now, and he's still doing it. So, I'm sorry. I think it's fair to expect prime Barzal to be as good as old Malkin at this point for the money he makes. And I know Malkin's an all-time player, but the guy's 40 years old. Like, they still – it's just something about Barzal. And again, it's not a knock. It's just – it's a hard fit at times. And it seems like Horvat's always the guy. Drouin's not the fit. They're too similar.
Yes.
Chest first, skate around, whatever. But again, if Lee's not going to be that guy, who's the guy? Like, do you put him with Heinemann? You can't put Heinemann there because he's been so good with Horvat.
Like, the stubbornness.
Shabanov's kind of similar to him.
I feel like what coaches want to see are players or lines. The lines they create win their minutes. Drouin and Barzal win their minutes, but
they don't score.
Exactly. So it's like this
win games, not minutes. That's the problem. Fact.
This is not like the our penal system. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Not in Islanders hockey. It's not.
I fully agree with you guys, and it's ridiculous that they're still together. I mean, Heinemann, Horvat, and Drouin were a good line. Like, why did we ever change that? I don't know.
The goal has to be, if you're going to truly develop, like, we all are big fans of a Cole Yzerman, right? That's the guy. Like, if that guy comes in and he looks what we expect him to look like in the next couple years, and he becomes that sniper, that's got to be Barzal's guy. Like, that's what we've been begging for. So we need someone like that. But again, like, the only one that really fits and consistently fits with Barzal to me is Horvat. Like, and then when you go to Horvat's line, guys fit. So I'm not trying to take away from Barzal as a player. I would just like to see a little more with him. Cut to the middle a little bit more.
Set fair up. Enough.
Simpler plays, if you will. It doesn't have to be orbiting the zone and running wild and just – whether it's power play, 5-on-5, whatever it is, get your points, but we need him not only scoring a little bit more himself, but setting up more goals and setting up guys that maybe aren't expected to produce like we expect a Horvat or like Heinemann is turned into with Horvat. Like, I just don't know. Just Horvat seems – everything seems like a simple fit with Horvat to me.
All right. Can the Islanders still make the playoffs in a crowded Eastern Conference?
Jack, go.
Positive, Jack.
I'm not going to lie. So in the last few weeks watching this team, I've kind of noticed a trend. So let's go back to after the Colorado 4-1 loss. They beat the Dallas Stars 3-2, Detroit Red Wings 5-0, St. Louis Blues, they lost 2-1, beat the Kraken 1-0, lost to the Bruins 3-1, lost to the Flyers 4-3 in a shootout, lost to the Capitals 4-1, but two of those were empty netters, and last night they won 2-1. What I just rattled off, I have never been more confident in my position that I took before the season. This team, I have definitely in the playoffs this year. Oh, and I don't even think it's a hot take anymore at all, to be quite honest.
It's not a hot take because the conference stinks, to be honest.
Well, I'm
not taking a shot at you. I'm just saying it's not a hot take at this point because outside of three or four teams, the conference is not good.
I just want to say, like, somewhere between now and the middle of January, if these players are healthy, they're going to be six, seven games over 500. Like, they are about to take off as a team. And the reason I say this,
your upcoming schedule, just asking.
I don't care what the schedule is. This team doesn't care who
they play. They have the Avalanche, who are an absolute wagon. Then they already
lost.
Yep,
in Tampa.
Beat them.
Nope.
Keep going.
At Florida.
Okay, they're the worst team in the league.
They're not,
but I would say toss up. Golden Knights.
Beat them.
The Ducks.
Do you realize the fact
you're gonna, Ethan, if you guys aren't watching the YouTube video, Ethan looks like he's going to murder me right now.
Jack, have you ever seen Tropic Thunder?
Ethan, have you ever seen your team having two top 20 NHL defensemen just elevate their partners to a ridiculous level that we are seeing? Tony D'Angelo is not even.
I mean, this is just like the lack of chemistry right now is appalling. Like, I mean, just like set like it, lobbing it up, you know, a little self-deprecating humor. I was making a simple Jack joke, but okay.
I wasn't ready for it.
You weren't, clearly.
I was locked in.
Anyway, Avalanche, Lightning, Panthers, Golden Knights, Ducks, Lightning again, Red Wings. Only one I'll agree with you right now, Jack. Easy win. Canucks, Sabres, Devils, Rangers, Blue Jackets, Blackhawks, and then New Year's Day, I'll just throw in there, against the Mammoth.
Yeah,
it's a tough schedule.
It's a tough schedule, and as far as the playoff thing, it is sort of a toss-up at this point, but again, I don't think
that's what it is. It's a toss-up. Like, I'm not going to say definitively yes, definitively no. Like, they started, like, that road trip, like, despite an 0-3 start, that road trip gave them a lot of cushion, like, relatively. I understand the division's, like, packed together, but, like, you do that, like, you've earned that kind of shitty homestand that they had.
Yeah, and especially, again, we were looking at the standings before we hopped on. The East is like a couple good teams and then everyone else just in the mix, just in the fucking blender all together. Flyers, Islanders, Blue Jackets, like all within 2-3 points of each other, correct? Like one game is a big swing. Like you have one game, you're in a playoff spot. The next game you lose, a couple teams win, you're like just ahead.
It's December and we're already scoreboard watching 3-point divisional games.
Exactly. So the reason they could make it is – not to say how great they are and they're so good and they're playing so great. It's just that the East has a bunch of, for lack of a better term, mediocre teams. Like, you look at these rosters, like the Flyers are not that impressive to me. You have who else, Jack? Who else is in like that same mix of the Isles? The Blue Jackets.
Columbus. The Rangers. The Rangers, Devils.
The Rangers are just old and slow. But they
can. Hughes is gone. Fox is gone.
There are a lot of these teams that are going to be buying.
Right. Like, no choice. But, like, despite Jack Hughes being out, the Devils will be buying. Then you have, obviously, the teams at the top will be buying. Tampa Bay, Carolina. And then, honestly, I know we could say what we want about Florida right now. They're going to come back. They're going to get Tkachuk back. They're going to get a couple guys. Like, they're just going to get healthier. They'll never have Barkov this year, but they're just going to come back. I'm not saying they're going to win again. I think they still end up making the playoffs this year, to be honest, Florida. And then you got a couple teams, like even the Rangers. I wouldn't be shocked if the Rangers made it. The only team in the East that I would be shocked, I think, is Buffalo. That's probably the only one I'd be shocked if they made the playoffs.
If you actually look at it, what I said before, where they've been kind of fortunate, I mean, it's crazy. Adam Fox, Jack Hughes, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, all of these guys being injured on those teams, like that's something this team wouldn't be able to afford. But I think the reason for my confidence is going into the year, I thought for 100% fact that the defense was probably going to be the worst in the league. I did not see this level of comeback from Adam Pellick, and it's allowed them to completely balance their entire
Jack transitioning topics like a pro. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just allowed them to, it's allowed them to shuffle like the perfect combinations. The last guy is, if you're going to have one guy you're unsure about, to have that be literally your sixth defenseman, it's unreal. And honestly, Romanov's injury opened the door for Watt to be forced to stop putting Romanov out at the end of games like he was egregiously doing to begin with, and to use Pellick, Schaefer, Pollock, and like all of these guys actually look good. And in all these games that they've lost, they're in every single game. They really gave up one goal to Washington. Sorokin just DiPietro'd them another one. So yes, the goal scoring has to get better. The goal scoring has to improve, but in my opinion, that stuff goes up and down throughout a season, and they've really found something on the blue line, which I did not see coming at all this year. And I'm really happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, the D group looks revitalized, right? Pellick looks, he looks like prime Trotz Pellick right now. You watch games. He's, I'm confident putting him in out against teams' top lines right now, right? Like end of games, you got to stop. Who'd we have to stop last night? Kucherov's line or whomever. He's the best guy on our squad that's going to be able to do it, right? Defensively. Yep. And I think it's a credit to him for bouncing back. Pollock, Jack, I think you had a tweet or a message in the Discord the other day about Pollock and, you know, how he deserves some respect. He's looked better. A guy like Scotty, listen, say what you want about the contract, say what you want about Scotty. He plays his role and he plays it pretty well, right? Like he's a bottom pair guy. The cap's rising. He's getting paid like a bottom pair guy. He does do a pretty good job protecting Schaefer. So he has his role there. So fine with Scotty. And I'm looking at this D now. And listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't move any of these guys, but I do think we are maybe a Tony D replacement from a solid D group. Not best in the league, but solid, serviceable D group. And obviously you got to give credit to Schaefer as well. It changes everything.
Well, obviously, big reason for Pollock just absolutely having a resurgence here. A lot of the credit has to go to Matthew Schaefer.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, maybe all of it. Maybe it took an elite partner to get him back where he needs to be. But going back to the start of the year, the Schaefer effect is finally having the cumulative impact on this defensive group that I hoped it would. But honestly, it's been better than I hoped because they don't even look serviceable right now. They look good. And now we need the goals to start pouring in. And Ethan, I think Eric Adams was still the mayor of New York, your state, the last time Simon Holmstrom scored a goal. So we're going to need him to get going a little bit.
Hey, Jack, he's still the mayor.
Oh, yeah. The election didn't happen yet. You know my point.
No, the election has January 1st. Okay.
Move on.
All right. Bad time stamp there. The point is this guy has it.
Listen, you want to fight about Simon Holmstrom? Let's fight about Simon Holmstrom.
Let's do it, man.
There's nothing to fight over. The guy looks like fucking ass. They're giving him Make-A-Wish Iron Man helmets in the locker room to make him feel good. Guy doesn't have a point in like 11 games. I was wrong.
All right.
What are you gonna do? Well, we were all hopeful with Simon. Now we're all throwing.
No one was more hopeful than me. And probably the most pathetic part is as poorly as he's playing, I'm still going to win the bet against Jack.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating part. Every time Siplikov has a chance and McLean is taking two-on-ones to rip pucks on net with this guy next to him, it's like, oh my God, I was so pissed. Like I had a chance to get back in this thing. And Patrick Waugh just putting this guy with
every time Siplikov gets a chance. And like it doesn't go in, like Jack, I chuckle. Like I sit there in my chair watching the game, and I'm
sure
like,
"You do,
I do," because I remember what it was like early in the season. Like every time Simon would like collect a point, I'd be like sitting there, like
one. I have one
in
point
in the Discord being like, "Fuck you, Jack!" Like
this bet the is one point. Into, these two chicks are having a mid off.
No, it's worse. Than that. It's worse than that.
Ethan, I have one point this season, and it was on a Marshall Warren shot from the point, dude.
They should
and
play like, the kid more.
It was like the one goal that like you didn't even want him to score. You wanted him to get his first NHL goal, and I'm sitting there like, I can't even be happy about this point. It was unethical.
It was very unethical.
Anyway,
it was unethical. Yeah, we can move on.
All right, let's get to our Discord questions from our Discord users who are our Patreon subscribers. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Isles House. Jack, go ahead.
Let's do it. Robert. Oh my God. Thoughts on Holmstrom and the contract at this point in the season. Are you glad Darsh only went short term, or would you have preferred a longer deal based on future potential?
Holmstrom?
Happy short term. Happy you got a short term.
Very happy short term. And I was banging the drum for like a 5x5 or something like that. Like convinced this guy about to fucking explode. So kudos to Darsh for going short.
Yeah, actually, so the Islanders website now is.
Did you hear what I said, Rocco?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay.
I might bring that up. I might privately send you that at a later date.
Just making sure.
I heard you.
Kudos to Matthew Darsh.
There's more substance on the Islanders website when you read the articles now. And Darsh said when they signed Holmstrom, like, I just need to see more. And I need to see it again before I give this guy a long-term deal. I liked it then. I love it now. And Holmstrom actually is who I thought he was.
If no, he's not. Continues. He's worse than you thought.
No, because I still think he's actually an effective, like, shutdown third line player. Like, I think that's exactly what he is. So when he
yeah,
was
but
next
you thought, to yeah, but you also believed he'd be like a half point per game kind of guy. He's not even that right now.
15 goals. That's where I have him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Steven B9, do you think Darsh will prioritize a right-handed defenseman or forward? I'm assuming a right-handed defenseman.
What is as when a, as like a current move?
Yeah,
I'm just reading the question.
Did he specify or he just that was it?
Honestly, there's no context.
So, I mean, short term, I think you ride these guys out, right?
Ride it out.
Yeah, ride it out right now. See what happens. Long term, both.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be more focused on getting Schaefer's partner more than a forward in the long term. But in the short term, you know, more games of McLean down there and more injuries pile up. I could see him going out and getting a forward because they're relatively healthy defensively. And they also have Isaiah George that's going to be returning soon. I think that's what Mitchell's doing there right now. I think he's the full on placeholder until they feel like George can come up and actually give 15 minutes. By the way, I can't wait to see this kid play. Last year, I thought he looked really good. And given the circumstances, he looked really good. And like another year under his belt, so excited.
And let me just say,
go ahead, Ethan.
The fear from the general populace on my bold prediction entering the season was that BU would be too good for Cole Yzerman to get some games. He could get some games this year.
He could. But
when would he be able to come up?
Like late in the season.
Yeah, he could play. Okay. But the scheduling and how the college hockey format works out is sometimes weird. Because if you just qualify for that tournament or you just get hot late, like if they just get into the Frozen Four, which I think they still very well could.
I mean, they're 7-7-1.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But we'll see. The season still goes pretty long. He could get games, but I just wanted to touch on the RHD quick. How I think Darsh is going to go about it is I think in the offseason he's going to look to sign or trade for, not like a crazy amount of assets, but sign or trade a right-handed defenseman.
Yeah.
While also taking a couple chances in the draft on right-handed defensemen. So you have the current guy for 2-3 years, whether it's a Radish, how do you say that guy's name? Liljegren? I might be butchering
yeah.
it. Someone Tim's like actually a free agent. And then you draft a couple right-handed Ds you hope you can develop and become the homegrown guy to replace the Pulocks, the Pelocks, and whatnot further down the road. So I think that's what we're going to see from Darsh, and I think that's the right move. Get the placeholder for now, and then the long-term fix comes through the draft.
Kevin, how sick was that Gatcom goal from the press box? #free him.
Okay.
Did anyone see it? I mean, I didn't see a Gatcon in the press box. Gillette, a Gillette 3. Attaboy. Let's stir the pot. It's nice to redeem. It's nice getting a chance to redeem myself. Let's stir the pot. Some Twitter folks shtick is to try and give Lou flowers for this roster, when in reality, the meat and potatoes of it are Garth Snow guys. Gillette, I'm coming for you. Outside of Bo slash Palms slash JG Pageau, Lou is responsible for Springvall, Varley, Romanov, in parentheses, hated by y'all, Duclair, parentheses, useless, Sip, parentheses, who knows what's up with him, and Holmstrom.
Did he say that we hate Varlamov?
No, Romanov.
No, Romanov.
Oh, Romanov. Well, yeah, obviously.
Sip, who knows what's up with him, Holmstrom regressing. When do we give Garth flowers instead?
When he comes on the pod.
Yeah, when he comes on the podcast.
I will give him all the flowers if he comes. Open invitation, Garth. Come on the pod. We want you.
Yeah, Garth Snow did have some good draft picks. The only problem is they never would have succeeded under his regime, under his leadership, because the guy cannot put together a competent staff if his life depended on it. So he doesn't get credit.
Reason. The other reason is Charles Wong.
Yeah, to defend Garth a bit here. They didn't have the money to put together a staff either.
They barely had the money to put together a roster.
Yeah, so it's not.
I'll never forget them trading for Tim Thomas's contract just to reach the cap floor.
Yep.
That was a despicably run organization.
The older I get, the more I understand Garth's side on everything.
100%. That's maturity. That's growth. Garth, come on the pod.
Yes.
I'm still young enough to disagree. And I think that Lou deserves all the credit for actually making a players like Brock Nelson, Adam Pellett.
Lou deserves credit for probably the best move of the decade, which was bringing in Barry.
Yes, deserves credit.
Thank you for the question, Dan Schaefer. Big save, Dave, the third goalie for Czech.
Who's one and two? I can't think of who's
good. I don't know, Rocco, but that's something I feel like you could dig into.
Yeah, I could dig into that. But, Jack, could we get a quick look up? Or I'm going to try to do it too. Czech goalies. I don't even know who would be.
Oh, my God. So it's Norris, not Norris. It's Calder, Locke, Dobes.
Mrazek.
Dobes, bro. Yeah. We were shaking in our boots with his three good games early in October.
Dostal. Lucas.
Dostal. Vladar.
Dostal Vemelka will make it over him. He might get the edge as the third goalie, honestly.
I think they like to give it to, like, if it's a toss-up, they give it to the vet usually.
Yeah, you're right. And, like, him and Vladar are neck and neck this year. I do see a path for Dave.
Big save, Dave is good vibes. Perfect third goalie, in my opinion.
Big vibes guy.
I put him on the – I'm not running anything for Czech, but if I was, third goalie, easy.
Yeah, he gave up three goals, I think, pretty early against the Flyers. Locked in rest of the game, didn't give another one up until the shootout, and that was like his worst game.
Not all of them were his faults, but
yeah, that's true. I mean, there was one or two. I don't know, but
he's the 33-year-old backup on a 1-year deal. He's been fucking unbelievable.
He's awesome
for that standard.
Jeff T, with Pageau close, what do you think with Richie? Do you move him on the wing, Joe's wing, or Pageau go to his wing, or move Pageau up to line two, moving Barzal to Horvat's wing? Jeez, lots there, man. Well, with Pageau close, I don't know. That's a good question. Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
It actually is a tough question. It was tough to read, tough to answer. I'm putting Pageau back at third line center, and I'm putting Richie back fourth line center with Siplikov and, I guess, Cizikas.
Pageau has to be center. That's the one thing for sure. Pageau is the face-offs and is automatic. Pageau is 100% a center. Can't put him on the wing. But I think same thing, Jack. Put him 3C, and then you work out the rest through that.
Yeah. The bottom six needs their player of development badly. I think they have, like, one goal in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
I mean, the whole
team also, needs, you mentioned needs. You mentioned Duclair. I have to say he's having one of those spurts where he looks really good. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like a little promotion next to Barzal in one of these upcoming games.
He looked really good on that goal, and he looked. Was that him with Richie or Richie. Where Richie didn't hit that goal that I think majority of NHL players hit, but he's only 20, and I won't judge him.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
BK, would you still want to make the playoffs if it meant losing to the Hurricanes in five games? Honestly, no.
Wow. I'm shocked at that answer from you.
Like, are we is it lose to the Carolina in five games and are, and then the alternative is just missing the playoffs and like just outside, or is it like a top five pick? Cause those are two, like
no context to the question, but I got to be honest.
And that's like, I mean, if it's just, if you're going to be the first team outside of the playoffs, I'd rather the playoffs to get guys like Schaefer the experience. But if
I kind of agree with that.
If you're going to tell me, oh, we can get a top five pick and we can get one of these studs in the draft, I'm taking the stud in the draft. I'd go anywhere in the, I'd rather top 10 over a quick elimination, I guess I would say. But anything closer.
Just that team.
What?
I can't lose to that team again, man. Like, that would be so frustrating.
Let's pray if we make it, we don't fucking play them, because that would be.
Yeah.
They're our.
Yeah, but you know what? Recently, Islanders are kind of Corsi merchants.
We're not beating Carol. It's like, I mean,
we'll
I know.
Be the most infuriating series of the entire playoffs.
What's that?
It would be the most infuriating series of the entire playoffs.
I mean, I
for got like the general fan.
The last time we played them. I don't usually get upset when I watch games. I cannot tell you how upset I was when they didn't call the Mayfield high stick.
No, I, yeah.
My wife got a new version of me that night. I was not happy.
The one thing I will say about Carolina, like if we were going into a playoff series with this team, I feel like Carolina is one of those teams that is such a systematic approach, and their team as a whole, when you look at the players individually, they're not anything too special. This isn't like the high-end talent you saw on like those Lightning teams. Obviously, like a team like the Oilers, there's a reason they get eliminated late every year. It's because finally you can't just win on your system. You actually have to have the talent. And like, I do think for the first time, the Islanders do have some pieces like Schaefer, Shabanov, just some players that can give them headaches because, you know, like they actually have guys that are able to overcome their systematic BS. So that's what I would be optimistic on if we went into a playoff series with them, but I still would rather it be any of the other seven teams in the East.
I agree. Any other team in the East, just one quick note too. The one thing you got to keep in mind on Carolina, they're one of the few East teams that are definite in on the playoffs, so they will be buying. So we don't know who they'll be adding as well. Like they could go out and make another, I don't know who will be out there that's nearly as good, but a Rantanen-esque move that could finally put them over the top.
Yeah, we're going to go to.
They have the prospect to go out and buy like that. We're not.
They do, and the ones that they develop are really good. Like Logan Stankoven is honestly a great fit when they got Blake and those guys. Like they're definitely in a great spot. Chris, I understand the question. G, I've got two questions. Under what conditions would you be okay with the Islanders adding at the deadline, if any? And in spirit of Joe Shane, did you understand that question?
I did understand that question, Chris.
I understand the question.
I understand the question. I
fucking hate that team so much. I mean, they just infuriate me.
Focus on NYI Weekly, okay?
NYI Weekly. We actually are weekly. Tage Thompson. You're buying a player like that.
Yeah.
If one becomes available. That's like the only like.
Or a
okay.
young
I lied. Go ahead, Rock. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just like, I agree. I think we've discussed this on previous pods. You either go – if you're going to buy a guy that's in his late-ish 20s, it's got to be a guy that's at minimum Horvat level. I think we'd agree on that, right? Like if you're going to go out and get that level forward, like all these pieces for forward, it's got to be a high-end guy. If it's not that type of move, the buying I'd be for is if you find a young right-handed defenseman, that would just be a fit because we know we're going to need that soon.
Yeah.
So if you found a – I know we have talked about him a number of times, but he's probably not getting traded, especially not to us now. Simone Nemitz, like someone like that, that sort of fit, maybe need to change a scenery type guy, right-handed D that could fit with us, that I'd be happy with.
Yeah.
But other than the high-end forward or the defensive fit, I really wouldn't want them buying.
Yeah, but like, I'll be honest, though. Like, would you be mad if they just threw like a fourth or a fifth?
No.
At, like, some stopgap defender.
You could do a Bortuzzo. But right. I wouldn't, like, for example, thinking of free agents that are going to – free agents to be, rather, that are going to be out there for trade, like, I'd be livid if they went for Kiefer Sherwood. I – like Alex Tuck, I don't think Alex Tuck is the guy you go out and get when you're the Islanders currently. So it's a very specific type of player I'd be looking for.
Justice8393, what is this team's problem with day games or games that start before 7 p.m.? We have five of them in December, and three of them are on back-to-backs. I actually think it has to do with the regime change. I think Lou liked the night games, and I think they wanted to get away from only the 7:30 starts on the weekends.
No, he's saying, why do we stink in those games, isn't he? Like, why do we never win afternoon games?
Oh, well, yeah. The second half of back-to-backs, they're undefeated this year, I think.
Well, he's saying we never do well in the afternoon games, and we have many of them coming up.
So we're cooked.
I don't know. But
I don't know, Jack. Mr. Win, win, win. This is a win. That's a win. Lock.
Colorado's a win.
Colorado might not be a win, but the other teams, like
that one, we could surprise.
Yeah, like, I don't know these.
The NHL. It's just, you can win any game.
I do wonder what the whole day game thing is with this team, though. It's been some. It's been a recurring theme for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dom, with Anthony Duclair clearly not possessing a bottom six play style when it comes to physicality, forechecking, defense, and this team's inability to score right now, why is the solution playing him with Simon Holmstrom, a player who actively avoids the puck in the offensive zone and on the fourth line? If there's any way to turn Duclair into a positive, it has to be in the top six, right? He was signed by Barzal, so I completely agree with you, Dom, and I think that him being on this roster for any other purpose is you're seeing the results. I mean, I don't really understand it myself, especially when you see guys in the top six not producing and also getting those opportunities. There's
I'm going to tell you what Duke, listen, I agree. He probably fits best in a top six role, but this is a guy who's a top six player on a bottom five team. That's the type of player he is. I'm sorry, but he's just, like, if he's in your top six, you're probably not going too far.
Agree? Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I mean, if he's a great chemistry fit, he just happens to be like the Heinemann of the line, sure. But if you need to push him into the top six, I don't think.
Like, he's the classic guy you get. He's cheap. He's been on a million teams. He's fast, and like he'll click with your best players. So like,
why not
throw out a second line of Barzal, Shabanov, and
Duclair? I would try it. I'm just saying I don't think that's the solution to a lot of problems.
I just don't think there are many solutions on the roster. There aren't.
There's not.
But try it.
There's not. Top six player on a bottom five team.
Okay.
The Bry Man. Moving Duclair with Barzal and Lee makes sense. What is your optimal third/fourth line, both before JGP and after he returns?
You know, it's funny because I was going to say – Bryman usually has a two-part question, and he snuck it in there at the end, before and after JGP.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? It's bottom six lines?
With and without Pageau. With Pageau, what is it?
Pageau, Lee, Holmstrom.
Yes.
No, but he put Lee in the top six, didn't he?
Well, I'm putting Lee in the bottom six.
No, well, okay. It's not
answering. Me too. I'm doing that also. He's not that exact line, actually. I agree with you.
You could agree. It's not how we asked it, but...
Who's the host here? We are.
We're all those.
Correct. So I'll answer the damn question however well I please.
Discord members, they do right by us. I like to answer properly. Sorry.
They do.
Pageau with Holmstrom and God, I can't even think of guys anymore. So if second line's Lee, Duclair, and Barzal, Horvat, Heinemann, one of Drouin or Shabanov would have to be down on the third line in that scenario then. So, I don't know.
Well, then for me...
Pageau, Holmstrom, Shabanov, and then the fourth line, just
Sipov,
Cizikas, and whoever.
Yeah.
And without Pageau, it's Richie and Pageau's spot, I guess.
I think that's fair. I mean, he's really handicapping us here with Duclair on the second line.
Yeah.
Lee on the second line. Like, if I'm just going to ignore his question like I did before, I would try Lee, Pageau, Holmstrom, and then with whoever I want, maybe without Pageau would be Richie, Duclair, Shabanov, maybe.
On a fourth?
No, third.
Okay.
This is without Pageau.
Okay. Yeah, without – I mean, I forgot Richie, too. I'm keeping Richie in both lineups. Either 3C or 4. If Pageau's in,
well, that's the question. It's, you know, you're assuming that Richie's going to be 4C in the scenario when Pageau's healthy.
Yeah, and I would put, and if they force Cizikas into lineup, which they're not going to take Cizikas out, Richie center Cizikas on his wing.
David S., are we now down on Quinn Finley? Doesn't seem to be having as good of a season.
Not down, but I think this was always kind of the prospect he was, right? Like, good, not top end prospect. What was he, a fourth round pick?
Actually, he's a stud. We love Quinn Finley.
He's on our bench.
And if you're in the Isles House Dynasty League and you want to trade for him, hit us up.
Yeah, this is this is marketing. But yeah,
exactly.
I still, you know, still high on Finley. Still signing no matter what. See what he's got. But I haven't even
looked. He's still like a point per game. I think he's 1 point under.
I haven't seen his numbers. Actually.
I think he's played like 11 games or 12 games, and he's got like one fewer point than games played.
That's not.
Let's see.
He's got to see him take that step because he was a point per game player last year. He was 20, 20, and 40.
And the team is better.
It's 10 games into the season. I'm not making any.
Well, college is only like 40 games, Jack.
All right, well, he's a fourth of the way through. He's got to step it up.
No, but I think sometimes when the team gets better, the point totals go in the opposite way just because some of the other guys could take on the brunt of things. So I'm not worried about him, definitely not. I mean, I don't feel like he fell off by any means.
Josh Elkin, do we expect our main college unsigned draft picks, Eiserman, Nelson, Finley, and to an extent Bednarik, to all ink their ELCs by this summer?
Not Bednarik, the other three, yes.
What was the question?
If they're all going to sign their ELCs after this season, and we're talking about Nelson, Finley, Eiserman, and Bednarik.
Yeah, I agree with Rocco. Everyone except Bednarik.
And rebuttal to Josh, are you ever going to eat a slice other than a regular? Because every time he comes in, he just eats regular pizza. I had to force a gram of vodka down his throat.
I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with a good old regular.
Well, I respect
it. He won't eat anything.
I mean, especially, you got to get the specialty slices.
Listen.
I mean,
counter like mine. Love Josh. A little bit of an insult to the counter. To walk down the counter and
objectively it is.
Jack mixes it up. Ethan definitely mixes it up. But Josh, two slices and a soda.
And not only do I mix it up, Rocco, by the way, I eat what I'm told.
Yeah, you do.
You're like this. I'm like, okay.
Well, you kind of just literally will tell me when you walk in, I'll take whatever you give me.
Sometimes.
It's a good rapport we have.
It is. That's trust.
Yeah, that is.
Scuds, with Pageau hopefully returning soon, they could possibly put Richie on a line with Barzell to get Richie going, I think Richie, Barzell, Drouin could be good, and then you reunite Lee, Pageau, Holmstrom. I respect the creativity here, but I just don't see it happening at all.
Well, Richie, Drouin, and Barzell, who's shooting? That's my big question on that.
They also clearly want Richie playing center.
Shabanov.
No, Richie, Barzell, and Drouin was the line.
Oh, Barzell and Drouin. Yeah, no one's shooting.
Yeah.
Number one Corsi line.
I'm a 3-0.
Yeah, last week.
But I wouldn't be opposed to putting Richie up the line. Like, if you're not going to put Barzell with Horvat, would you guys be opposed to giving Richie a shot in the top six if he's going to play a little wing?
I'm open to that, but I just don't think they're going. I just don't think they're going to put him there.
No, they view him as a center.
Center, yeah.
I'm Dan the Man. Do you think Adam Pellick will score a goal? I don't know, no. But if he does, it's going to be a major celebration on that bench.
It's going to be a major celebration for Ethan and I too, because we just picked him off waivers on.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
I'm going to say yes. One goal this season. One.
Hold on.
A little bit of.
hold on. Before we get to, okay, so Adam Pellick's most recent goal is February 20th, 2024. And if you were to...
Here comes the calculator.
Do the math on it.
I had to force it in somewhere.
I'm just kidding. I'm not actually going to do the math on that. It's 652 days. It's a lot of days.
It's a lot of days.
It's a lot of days.
A lot of shot attempts, a lot of games. It's been a long road since his last
goal. We're coming up on 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mark D20, creative question here. Is Ilya Sorokin the Noah Dobson of goalies? Good analytics, respected league-wide, generally seen as a high-end player, but mentally weak and mistake-prone, having die-hard supporters like Data Dom and Mike. Your thoughts?
No, because Sorokin wants to be here. That's the big difference between the
two. He's actually, I think Sorokin is more deserving of the praise he gets league-wide than Dobson is.
And absolutely, he is.
He's been nominated for a Vezina before. That's
second he got.
Yeah, he's actually like a high-end player. So
that year, he was like, he could have won. I forget who won that year. Hellebuck beat him?
Yeah.
But so I remember arguing for
Olmark.
Olmark, that's right. But Olmark was on that Boston team that was ridiculous. Yeah. And Swayman's numbers were like the same. So Sorokin carried the team more than Olmark that year. And he's had seasons where he's been incredible. So I think Sorokin's a notch above Dobson.
100%. Lupo 8897. Do you guys think Darche is seeing Pageau's absence and think he should re-sign him more than being okay to trade him? Basically, did his absence mean that they should trade him or re-sign him?
I think if a Pageau being out of the lineup hurts you that much, that tells you you're not that close. So
it's quite a spin.
In my opinion.
Quite a spin.
No, I think he's going to trade him. I really do. And I think they're going to take time bringing him back.
Yeah.
And I think another team that is very competitive and might need a center because one of their main guys just went down in Dallas might need someone a little extra.
Yeah, he's likely going to get a haul for that one.
Yeah, I know.
Thomas Boyle, with the Metro being as close as it is, who do you see falling apart and giving teams a chance to catch up? I think the Capitals and Hurricanes are the two best teams in that division. And I want to say the Devils, but with Hughes being hurt, I am coming around to them.
They're good. They're big too. Did you notice that when we played them? Like they beat us up.
Ovechkin, Protas.
Their kids are big. Leonard
Wilson, Leonard.
Yeah. Their defensemen are really good. That's where I'm at with that team.
Chychrun's having like a Norris caliber year.
Chychrun was a steal. Do you remember what they gave up in Chychrun? They gave up like nothing.
Yes.
Jensen.
And the number of times Jacob Chychrun was a current future Islander, he's on the all-time like roster.
Yes.
I wanted him bad.
And he wanted to be traded for like 3 years. So
yeah,
we were after him for a bit.
Yeah, Penguins and Flyers.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that. Li Isles / Mets 94. What will happen first? Pellick scoring a goal or GTA 7 coming out?
Seven.
They're up to seven.
I think he'll score before that.
Pellick.
GTA 6.
Rob Taub, does this team remind you of the first year under Trotz, the us against the world attitude?
No.
No, me too. It's just completely different. It's like they're coming off of like a drafting Schaefer first overall is like a momentum riding thing. That Trotz team had to deal with losing Bleep. So I can't really... That's the thing. Like they went into the season with positive energy where, you know, the other season it was more of like, all right, we're going to suck and it's going to just be painful. So I get where you're coming from though. I think it's a fair question. Oh, there we go. Agelette. Is Jonathan Drouin the new Josh Bailey? 15 points in 29 games, but feel like he hasn't impacted games in a large way.
Jack, this is your guy, Jack.
Drouin is significantly more skilled.
if you think that Jonathan Drouin hasn't impacted the games in a large way, Gillette, I mean, you're too focused on the files over there, man. Like, too focused on the other stuff.
Just get us the Pinto text, Mike. Just get us the Pinto text, okay?
Oh, Jack, that's funny. Okay, next question. Hold up.
Next question. Wait, David S. responded, you give Phil your phone? Yeah. Great question. Wait, that was actually the last question.
There we go.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, let's wrap it up. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Hit subscribe on the YouTube, por favor. If you want access to the insider stuff, patreon.com/Isles House. We'll see you in the Discord, and we'll talk to you next week.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Ayo's house. In the middle of our street. Ayo's house.